It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. It's always a refreshing time to be able to come and gather around the Word and be with precious brothers and sisters of like faith. This is a very small group here today compared to what's in the world. We are such a blessed people to be the light of the world here today, Lord. And I just like to ask this morning, if we read from Psalms 86, I love this psalm. I love all of them, but particularly this one that says it's a prayer of David. I'll gather to it this morning. I'd like to say a few words before we read the words this morning, if you would. Precious Father, we thank you for this day you've given us to be free and alive on the earth, to come in free will, Lord, to feed upon your word this year in this ministry, Lord. Such a blessed ministry that we have here, Father. And I'd ask this morning, Lord, that the most precious thing here, Father, is for me to be able to walk through these doors every day, to come and gather and get your word, Lord, to have your way with me, Father. And I ask, Lord, that those that couldn't make it here today, Brother Dick and Brother Collie and Brother Darty and his wife, Sister Mary there, Lord, and Sister Johnny and all the ones that couldn't make it, Lord, I just ask you to touch and bless them. And thank you for the new addition there to the Dale family, Lord. It's coming forth. And I agree with Brother Terrence. It's time he come home, Lord. Bring him home. And I ask, Father, today for all those that couldn't make it here today, just bless them wherever they're at and be with them and send down your Holy Spirit to comfort them, Lord, with the word coming to them, Lord. And we ask today for Brother Wade to touch and bless him, Father, that magnificent gift that you've given to preach, Lord, to let him speak the words from his heart, come across those lips you made of clay, Lord. Yes, Father, you bless each one here today in a special way. And most of all, Father, without revealing your word to us, Lord, it's just a word. Let it be a life, Lord, a life that becomes the light of the world, Lord. We ask these things as we read your precious word here today. We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalms 86. Let me get these glasses on. Bow down thy ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy.
Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O Lord, our God, save thy servant and trust in thee.
Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry thee daily.
Joy to soul,
I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all men that call upon thee.
Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication.
In the day of my troubles I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Amen. All nations unto whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name.
For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone.
Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. For great is the mercy towards me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell.
O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assembly of the vile men have sought back my soul, and have not set me before.
But thou, O Lord, O God of compassion, and gracious, long suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth.
Amen.
Show me a token of good, that they which hate mine see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast opened me and comforted me. Amen. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. He is our helper.
Amen.
Let's sing 426, We're Together Again. Praising the Lord. Something good is bound to happen. Something good is in store. Oh, we're together again, praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is bound to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Praising the Lord. Amen. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again. In one accord. Something good is bound to happen. Something good is in store. We're together. Praising the Lord. Amen. Let's lift our voices up. We're together again. Oh, just praising the Lord. We're together again. Oh, Lord, in one accord. Something good is bound to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. I once more, thank you, Lord. We're together again. Just praising our Lord. We're together again. In one accord. Something good is bound to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's so good to be together once more by His grace. Amen. And we thank the Lord we can gather this morning, but we're looking for that day. Let's sing 204. What a day that will be. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be shouting. Amen. And I'm not afraid to start a little bit today. Amen.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. Oh, no more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore.
Face is gonna be all over.
Who saved me by His grace? When He takes me by the hand, oh, and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow. Sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be whole with the one who died for me. Oh, what a day. Think about it. Glory. I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land,
share a testimony with you. This India trip was unlike anything I've experienced. You know, we had to kind of emergency leave to get over there, and so I flew probably 20 plus hours straight. Once I landed, they started calling and saying, can I come into the office right away? We got so many problems, people getting ready to leave. So I ran to the hotel, showered, ran to the office, and in a room with a whole bunch of people, and got system developers, all kind of things. And there were our job, we map out these financial models, and they had been working 6 months on this thing, and we couldn't get it right. And I got in, and for the next 8 days, it was probably 16 to 20 hour days. I may have about 3 hours of sleep. And literally, I thought, Lord God, I could die. I mean, my head was like, Lord Jesus, I had to kind of hold my head, you know. This was just so intense, and cultural differences. We had people from different parts of the world, and I'm like, Lord Jesus, I don't know, Lord. And people, you know, they're scared they're going to lose their business, so it was just so much pressure. And it wasn't until Tuesday of last week, and I had about 3 hours of sleep, and the Lord woke me up that morning, and he started giving me what I needed to do, and it's his grace. Oh, praise the Lord. And he came on the scene in such a way. I know it wasn't me. I know it wasn't me. That's the grace of the God we serve. He knows how to put you on the test, and he knows how to come on the scene. And I just thank the Lord for his grace. Amen. Amen. He has everything in his hands. And I just seen that. I seen him so visible just to come on the scene and really, really make a way in that situation. We serve a wonderful God. He is just so wonderful, so marvelous. He's wonderful. Amen. Let's sing that song, Wonderful, with all of our heart. Amen. He's everything. He's our counselor. He's everything. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is he. And saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise him. His name once more.
Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He, and saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Let's stand. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. Oh, wonderful, amen. Turn around, shake each other's hands, say, God bless you. Amen. Prince of Peace, mighty God is He, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh yes, and wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He, and saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You excited for His word this morning? Amen. Well, let's get our heart ready. Amen. Brother Wade said, let me make sure to get you guys ready to do the job. Amen. So let's pull. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to open the eyes of our heart. Amen. We got something to praise the Lord about. We got something to thank the Lord about. Amen. He is our everything. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You, oh Lord. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You, oh Lord. I want to
praise the Lord. Appreciate You. Bless You, brother.
To see You high and lifted.
I hope you didn't come to see a man. I hope you come to see the Lord Jesus today. Amen. Louis, are you hooked up? You ready to go? Okay. All right. Good to have. Have they been here before? No. Okay. God bless you, brother and sister. Good to have you with us. God bless you. Make yourself at home. You're the bride of Jesus Christ. And you're just part of us. Amen. Good to see everybody here. I want to thank everybody for all the cards and gifts and things from last weekend. Brother Dale also, he told you that Wednesday night. But truly blessed we all are that we can have a place to come and a place to be safe. There's not many safe places in this world anymore. But this is a safe place. And I'm not just talking about safe from robbers and thieves. I'm talking about from the great thief and the great robber, the devil. We're safe from that. So if you got your Bibles, we turn to Psalms. We're going to start with Revival Part 2. We're going to review Part 1. We've got both services today. I want to make announcements now. Remember, there will be no church Wednesday because that will be Christmas Day, and we'll celebrate with our families. Is that fan on? It's hot up here. Also, Dad will be doing both services next Sunday. Brother Chris Long is coming in, and we're going with him to Brother Altig's for next Sunday. So just keep us all in your prayers. Brother Chris will be here on Saturday, and then he will be here Watch Night Service Tuesday night from 8 to midnight. All right? And we will take communion right at midnight. The sisters need to bring a dessert or something. We always have a little something to eat before, and make sure you bring that. Then there will be no Wednesday night service. That will be January the 1st, and we'll be recuperating from that night before, from being here at midnight. The world has to recuperate different during that time, but we don't recuperate like that. We recuperate in that we get to hear the word of God and have singing till about midnight. So just come and be with us. Also on January the 4th, will be our youth Bible study at 3 o'clock here at the church. Brother Nathaniel Green from North Carolina will be with us to speak very briefly, and then we will have our questions and answers session. Then regular Bible study will be from 6 to 8 that same Saturday. Everybody got that? All right, that will be adult Bible study from 6 to 8 like we normally have, but 3 o'clock for the youth service, and for the youth here at the church, or bring a friend with you. That's okay. Brother Nate will also stay over and be with us on January the 5th for the second service. Brother Dale will be doing the first service, and Brother Nathaniel will be doing the second service, which that will be Youth Sunday also, where the youth controls the service and does that. So also, January the 18th will be our fellowship meeting here at the church. That will be Brother Aaron McGarry. He used to be from Texas, now he's from North Carolina. So he'll be speaking for us. We've known him for a little while. Good brother, real good teacher. He's a lawyer, but don't hold that against him. So, but him and his dad have been in the message for a while. But he'll also be here that Sunday to do both services for us on January the 19th. So that kind of gets you into January. So God bless you. Let's go to Psalms 85. Verse 1, we've been speaking last Wednesday, or a couple Wednesdays ago, on revival. Just to set a basis here, because we have to understand what brings revival, what happens at a revival, and what happens after a revival. Because there's been many, many revivals. But as we look here, and we're going to read in the scripture, that there's one more left. And we're it. So we can look at the examples of all the other revivals, and we're going to do that. We're going to track them all the way through the Bible. We did one a couple Wednesdays ago. We'll do one or two more today. But I want you to see what happens during a revival. That way you'll know what's going on when you know you're in a revival. Amen? Amen? So the book of Psalms, chapter 85, verse 1 through 7. And let's bow our heads before we get started. Thank you, Jesus, for this day, that we can come, Lord, in a building that's warm, no rain on our head. But Father, we know there's many people across the world that are still assembling today in cold buildings and dirt floors and not much over their head, but we serve the same God. And we're going to the same place. If they're bride of Jesus Christ, we're going to a city that is eternal, that we'll never have to worry about rain anymore and all the cold winds blowing and going to funerals and all these different things. Lord, it'll be a glorious time, but we've got to get ready here. We've got to make our preparation at this point so we can get there, Father. We know that the journey's been long and hard, and for many, Lord, that's just come in, Lord, it's still been a journey that's been rough, because truthfully, Lord, even when you were on earth, they called you a devil. So they're going to also do the same thing to us. Father, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Be with the visitors that are with us today. Be with the ones that are not with us today. Be with the ones that are sick, the ones that need salvation. Father, we still believe that you're a salvation God, that you'll save the souls of the unsaved and bring sinners to Christ. Father, be with us and take care of us. Bless the missionaries on the foreign fields. Lord, you take over the service. You have your will and you have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalms 85:1, to the chief musician, a psalm for the son of Korah. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? This is David, remember. Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Because every time there's a revival, there's a rejoicing.
Right.
All right. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Now let's go to 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Now remember, this is speaking of the children of Israel, but we are the people of God also.
Right.
This is a present day revelation, so we're looking at a present day truth. We use the Jews for an example. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, I believe, that all this is given in the Old Testament for our example.
Exactly.
All right? For those the ends of the world come upon. So you and I have the, I was thinking the other day, if you're not in the revelation of the present day truth, and I don't want to say the message, I'm saying the present day truth, revelation, then you're under a closed book and you cannot see the total plan of redemption. So you can't take a body change. That's why God can't give a revival to the denominations. They're so divided. And we're going to bring it home in just a little while and see that it's the same right here. Now mine eyes shall be, oh, wait a minute. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Now what I tell you last week, Brother Brown said prayer and reading your Bible will get you closer to God, but that also begins a revival.
Right.
All right, so listen to what the prophet of God said in just a minute. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What land are we talking about?
Right.
This is the land we're talking about right here. I'm not worried about the physical land. It takes care of itself. We need to take care of this land.
Amen.
This is the land that we're dealing with now. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears shall attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house.
Glory.
This house.
Right.
Not this building.
Right.
It's already been dedicated.
Right.
But we got to dedicate this house.
Amen.
This is the temple that we got to deal with. For now I have chosen.
Right.
Now buddy, when God chooses something, he don't let it go.
Right.
Amen. Now mine eyes shall be opened and my ears shall attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever.
Glory.
And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually.
Amen.
In other words, from generation to generation or from eternity to eternity. You may be seated and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We're going to, it's good we get two services. We can kind of go to a place and stop and pick it up this afternoon. So, Lord bless you. We're going to speak on revival. Now listen, there's a lot of times we look and we see that when we talk about revival, the first thing you think of is, you know, me and Brother Dale gets together and we talk to the musicians and we talk to the song leaders and we want some of that music that, you know, some of that Jamaican music. If you've never been to Jamaica, you ought to go one time. They know how to worship. I said they know how to worship. But it's not all just worship. You got to know what you're worshiping about. Amen. And I believe if we know what we're worshiping about, we don't have to build up anything. We don't have to push down anything. But if you get in a revival, The prophet of God said, we'll read it in just a minute, that it's a personal revival.
Amen.
And it begins with you and me.
Right.
So now let's look in the Hebrew lexicon and see what that word revival means. Now remember, revival doesn't mean resurrection.
Right.
Revival does not mean resurrection.
Right.
Getting born again is a resurrection.
Right.
A revival is reviving what's already there. So if you don't have anything there, I mean in your soul, if there's nothing there, you can't have a revival.
Right.
You gotta have a resurrection. You gotta have a dying out to yourself. Come into the household of God. And then you can have a revival of what you've already got.
Amen.
And Brother Bram tells us, and we'll read it in a little while, where that even during a revival, which means to revive what you already have,
right,
that as the net goes out, that there are sinners that come in. There are healings that come in. So this revival is not just, well, if you're a sinner, you can't get saved under revival. Yes, you can. Because you know what? A revival may let you realize that you ain't got what you think you got.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
So let's look at the Hebrew lexicon and see what it says about, I'm going to slow down a little bit. Sorry, Louis. The word revival, to live. Have life, not get life.
Right.
Have life.
Amen.
Remain alive.
Amen.
Sustain life.
Amen.
Brother Dale's always said he's been in a revival since he came into this message. What? He got born again, come into the message of the hour.
Right.
He's been in a personal revival.
Right. Amen.
Amen? I hope he has. He's been our pastor for 40 years.
Right.
Sustain life. Live prosperously. Live forever.
Glory.
Be quickened. I hope God quickens what you have.
Glory.
Be alive. Be restored to life and health. To continue in life or remain alive.
Amen.
Now what are you and I? You and I are today are alive.
Amen.
And I want to remain alive. Because the scripture says those who are alive and remain,
amen,
until the coming of the Lord,
right,
shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Glory.
Now that's going to be a revival. You know why? Because they went down with something.
Right.
Their physical body died.
Right.
But their soul didn't die.
Amen.
Their soul is still that quickening power in another dimension.
Glory.
Waiting on us to have our revival.
Amen.
To get this guy changed.
Right.
And then it's going to pull them out of the ground.
Amen.
Why do you think the prophet of God called it first pull, second pull, third pull? We're pulling something.
Right.
We're pulling them out of the ground.
Yeah.
But like I said before, it's not going to be done by how much emotion so much at first. Because we're going to look here in a minute at the children of Israel. I mean, people, we have to go to Walmart and the grocery store to get our food, right? And if we want water, we have to go buy it at Aldi. I like Aldi water. Right? God fed 2 million people.
Yeah, right.
In a dry wilderness.
Right.
And their shoes never wore out.
Right.
They walked for 40 years.
Amen.
And they got to a place and said, in other words, God ain't done nothing for us. Rained manna every day.
Right.
All they had to do was step out of their tent, pick it up, put it in a basket, and go sit down and eat it.
Right.
This gushing water from a rock running down through the children of Israel. And they just dipped up cups of it, and it never did run dry.
Right.
Until they got in the promised land.
Yep.
But they still, with all that great sign and wonder, they murmured every single day. God even sent them meat because they asked for it. But there was a plague attached to that because that wasn't God's perfect will. God's perfect will was for them to eat that manna coming out of heaven because it had every ingredient. What about that? You know, I take a handful of vitamins every morning, every afternoon. Why? Because we don't get as much nutrition from our food. In that little wafer of food, everything they needed.
Right.
I would have loved to have kept some of that.
Because
it'll sustain you. But still they murmured. That's the same way with us. We've come down to this end of the road. We've come down to this part of this long journey. And are we still murmuring and complaining about what God is not doing for us? Come on. Should not be that way. We should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. He's given us an open book. He's even given us the message. Hey, listen, when we first started this church, that whole back wall was full of eight-inch reels. You couldn't take but about four or five home with you. They were this high, and some of you remember the old eight-inch reel. Then God gave us cassettes, a little bit smaller. You could haul them a little bit better. Now, that phone you're sitting right beside of has got the whole 1,100 sermons on it. So what's God give us and we're still murmuring and complaining? Amen? So to live, have life, sustain life. As I said many times before, I love that scripture. It says those who endure to the end shall be saved. Those who endure to the end. There was only two people endured that 40-year journey. Joshua and Caleb. Two people. Now, you know there was that 20-year-old and younger, but they were under that whole thing coming up. The old people had to die out because their ideas, you know, that God's not doing anything for us. We need to go back to Egypt. We see that's happening now. They're headed back to Egypt. God never wants you to go backwards. We're supposed to see what happens in the past, bring it to a present-day truth. Amen? That's great what happened on the day of Pentecost. Wonderful. That was for 120 in the upper room. But what about today? What about this revival that we should be under today? Let's read Hosea 6 and 1. Hosea 6 and 1, watch. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. What is a day to God? 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years. So after 2,000 years, God is going to revive us. Now we know there's been revivals all down through the ages, but there's got to be one after 2 days. In the 3rd day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight.
Right.
That means God's here.
Amen.
That means God's here.
Right.
We'll live in his sight. You got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Now listen to this. Let's go to some of you that have your quotes in your hand. These were inserted so you won't have them. You're going to have to read them up here. Go to number A. We're going to talk about a lot of revivals, but then we've got, when we talk about a lot of revivals, we've got to come up to the present day revival, all right, which will be a couple of messages down the road. Now watch what Brother Brown said. This is in his Rising of the Sun, 1965. There was the first sheaf come up from all the prophets, which was the Son of God, the King of all prophets. Look at this. Here's my point. There has been churches, churches, brides, brides, churches. Listen, he said brides. Brides. Churches, churches, brides, brides, churches, brides, brides. All the way for 2,000 years, God's had churches and he's had brides. But there has got to come one. Hallelujah. There has to come a real bride. Not saying that other bride was false. They had their time. They had their box. But that was during that 2 days. They weren't in the 3rd day. You and I are in the 3rd day. But there's got to come one. There has to come a real bride. There must come one that's not only got the mechanics, but the dynamics of it makes that church die. Oh, it says makes that church live. Move in the power of his resurrection until we come to that place. Until we find that place, what good does it do to polish the hubs?
Right.
Let me insert something. You know what he's saying? What good does it do to think the cloud's wrong or the dates are wrong? We're polishing hubs.
Yeah.
We're polishing hubs. I don't care.
Right.
I'm like, Brother Dale, I do not care.
Right.
The prophet of God gave me an open book.
Right.
to God himself. That's what the children of Israel, we got a cloud. We got some fire. God rained manna down out of heaven. And they still say, God, what have you done for us? That's what's happening now. God, what have you done for us? He sent you everything you needed. What good does it do to polish the hubs? What does it do to give her a facelift? And some of you young people don't know what a simonized job is. Who knows what a simonized job is? Not many. Simonized was a car wax. And you had to literally get out there and do this. You ain't kidding. And then you had to wait until it dry. I'm telling you this for a story. You had to wait till it to dry. And then if you missed a spot, you was in trouble. Because it showed up. What good does it do to give it a facelift or just shine the car up? The car's the message. That's the vehicle to get us out of here. Okay? It doesn't matter to me. Like I said, I know one thing's for sure. That sign, if you can see Christ in that sign, it's a sign. Not to be denied. No matter how much the mechanics proves to be right, there has got to be dynamics to make it work. Everybody got that? Say amen. Now watch this next quote. 1965, God of this evil age. You won't have it on your notes. This will be number B. I picked these up while I was in the... Now watch this right here. Now watch what Brother Branham says in God of this evil age. Now that kind of... Listen, God of this evil age and anointed ones at the end time, I'm going to add that to it. You should listen to that tape or read that book also, because God of this evil age and anointed ones at the end time kind of go together. All right? Because who is God of this evil age? The anointed ones at the end time. Amen. It is, now watch, it is that both engaged brides believe Satan's knowledge against God's word. That's why I'm telling you folks, when we get finished, it's got to be a word revival. Not a revival of emotion and, that feels good. Egypt felt pretty good. I mean, Israel felt pretty good when they come out of Egypt. But what? In that long journey, they started murmuring and complaining. In this long 50 years since the prophet left, they now start murmuring and complaining and forget what God's did for them already. But we got to be established in the present day truth. The bride of Adam believes Satan's knowledge against God's word. And the bride of Christ. I'm going to go over here. I want you to look at my backside. The bride of Adam believes Satan. No, look. And the bride of Christ has believed Satan's knowledge. Look how close. He didn't say the bride of the devil. He said the bride of Christ has believed Satan's knowledge. I like what Brother Olte said. He said science and God are contrary. God's the greatest scientist there ever was, but man's scientific learning is contrary to God. Right. Amen? Amen? So whatever they can scientifically prove about all this cloud and stuff, forget it. It's Satan's knowledge. Look, in this intellectual evil age against God's word. And notice, Eve in the natural that believed it and plunged the whole human race to death, the natural bride. Adam, the natural man of the earth, his bride, before he got to her to be wife, plunged the whole human race into death. Whether it's scientific or not, we die just the same. Because God said we would. Whether you're in Holy Eden, oh Lord, we're fixing to get close, or Holy Church, or Holy Denomination, or whatever it might be, you'll die the day you disbelieve one word of God's word to be the truth. One word. When it's vindicated and proved to you. That's the day. That's why they told Jesus. They said, all these people, got manna in the wilderness. And Jesus looked at them and said, they're everyone dead. They're everyone dead. And Brother Brown said that's eternally separated from God. They're everyone dead. Why? They turned the word down. When it was vindicated and proved to them. When this message has been vindicated and proved to us over and over and over again, they deny it. That's the day you separate yourself from God. Not just the whole sentence, one word. Whosoever shall add one word or take one away, that's the day you die. And you know what? Remember Brother Brown said Eve thought she got away with it because she didn't die that day. But God said, hey, you're not going to live 1,000 years. Right? Methuselah lived 969 years. You're not going to live that day. Amen. That's why we're going to have a millennium where there'll be 1,000 years where everyone will live that day, glory, that 1,000 years, to prove that that curse has been took away. But look what he says. Whether you're in Holy Eden, message, or Holy Church, or Holy Denomination, or whatever it might be, you'll die the day you disbelieve one word of God's word to be true.
Glory.
That's why it's got to come back to a word revival. They've been brides, churches. They've had revivals since Israel came out of Egypt.
Yeah.
But there's going to come one that's going to take this word and stand on it regardless. Right. If this church, physical, falls apart.
Right.
So what?
Right.
Thank God he gave us a prophet. A vindicated prophet. Yeah, I'll clap too. Because he didn't point us to him. He pointed us to Christ. And that's good enough for me. Because all the others, they point to their self. Most of the time. Amen? Y'all want to add a little something here. You know, in 2017, we spoke about the year 2019, which is coming to an end. And I never said rapture was going to take place, but I told y'all something would happen in 2019. Actually, I told you in October of 2019.
Yeah.
Well, that's when they started turning this word down.
Oh, yeah.
The big people did.
Right.
Started turning the message down and started going away. Listen, let me tell you something. It never deterred Joshua and Caleb one time. When Caleb come out of 40 years of listening to that junk, Caleb stood and says, give me my mountain. I am as strong today as I was when you told me 40 years ago I was going to come into this promised land. Oh, Lord, that made him 80 years old. That ought to make y'all happy, your older ones. Brother Dale will be 80 this year, so he's Caleb taking over the mountain. Amen. All right, now look, let's talk for just a minute about this revival. Number one, the deity of Jesus Christ. Now watch. This is a prayer. We read these last couple weeks ago, but I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to say it again. For those of you that don't come, I doubt you watch the services, because if you look, we see all the views. You know, there's a beekeeper friend of mine. He talks about beekeeping. He's got 5 million viewers. He gets 50,000 hits about 3 hours after he puts a little how to put a bee in a bee box. We have the sermons of the living God. And you get 20 views. There's more than 20 of you kids sitting in here today. I'm telling you, it's a shame. And I'm saying it from Brother Russ Dunker. He called me the other day. He said, it's a crying shame that your people can't watch those sermons. And you get 20 views and all these other people on YouTube get millions, thousands, hundreds. As soon as they put something on. Why? You know what? The Word of God's not popular. But we review because we know that's going to happen. And I'm just reviewing last Wednesday's sermon. So if you didn't watch it, which probably didn't because there's only about 30 views on it, then we're going to redo it again so you can pay attention. Watch. This is Brother Brown's prayer. And now, this is in 1949. And now start a revival in the hearts of the people this morning. Lord, may this be a renewing time. We're coming into 2020, a new, a new decade. Right. Not a century. Sorry, I said century the other day. A new decade. There's no more 2010. We're in 2020.
Right.
We're coming to a new decade, a new, renew us, a time when the Spirit will be renewed. You look at all the preachers we've had in visiting for the past 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
We're all on the same page, and I'm telling you, we're going to see that because Brother Brown said the Holy Ghost would not have fallen on the day of Pentecost if they hadn't been in one mind and one accord. One wasn't sitting over going, well, I think that thing, that cloud over Jesus' head, I don't know if that was, you know, John, Peter, James, and John sat over and go, I was there on top of that mountain, but I saw something, but I didn't see Jesus glorified. I saw this, and I saw, come on, people, good grief. They were in one mind and one accord. Jesus told them what to do, and they did it. They went up to an upper room. Of course, they were scared to death. They didn't know what was going on. But boy, when the Holy Ghost fell,
glory.
That's our problem, I think. The problem was the mixed multitude in Israel. It wasn't
right.
All so much Israel. And now start a revival in the hearts of the people this morning. I'll make a comment here in just a minute. May this be a renewing time, a time when the Spirit will be renewed. And oh, Father, we'd pray it this way. Come get us by the hand. Look how personal this is. Each one of us, and walk us down this lane here. In other words, walk us down this journey that we're on. Show to us this great picture that's set in order here, revealing your secrets to the saints' hearts this morning. That's 1949. He hadn't even started his message yet. Amen?
Right.
And as we walk down, Lord, then, Lord, in the armor of God, may we go as gallant soldiers to face the enemy. But how could we face him unless we know his tactics?
Right.
And help us this morning to understand and show us his foreground there so we'll know where to meet him, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What a prayer. Now let's go to number 2. This is from 1951, the angel of the Lord, Toledo, Ohio. And when we see these crowds gathering, that doesn't mean revival. That's just a gathering. All right? So we're not looking. I want to fill this church up. It's almost full now. But it's not a filling up of church. It's filling up of the people that's already in the church. That's just a gathering. But a revival is when people get really right with God and pray through and starts a revival throughout the city and everything, you see. They put away sin, put away their iniquity, and turn to God, turn around and start back again down the road. All right, let's go to number 3. Brother, I feel real good. Resurrection of Lazarus, 1951. I'd feel good about it anyhow. What this church needs today is a good revival, not a new doctrine. We don't need a new doctrine. We got the truth. A new order. Just a stirring up of what you already know about. Amen. Number 4. Expectations, 1961. Now, a minister cannot bring a revival. Number 4. Now, a minister cannot bring a revival. Like I said, I can stand here and go, all right, Brother John, you need to sing all the songs that are up-tempo. Brother Luis, you need to sing all the songs that are up-tempo. I want you to go out there and run the aisles. And while most of y'all probably wouldn't be back next service, but... You know, that's not what you say. Well, what you're trying to bring a revival. I'm not trying to work anything up.
Right.
You're going to have to do that.
Exactly.
I mean, listen, if some of y'all raised both hands, it'd take an anointing probably of being gay to get you to raise your hands.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Some of you set that like a bump on a pickle. This is the greatest thing ever was on the face of the earth, and you just sit there. Say amen every once in a while. Most of you amen like this. And that's okay, but let it out every once in a while. There's no preacher can bring a revival. Now see, that's all across the land back when. How did you interpret that, Luis? When you come back into the land, you look out in the land, and you see all the preachers trying to create a revival. I told you we were looking there, Brother Summerall, back in the 70s, I think, he was calling for a revival because he said there'd never been one. Now, see, Brother Bramham just went off the scene, greatest healing revival there ever was. And he had to be there and know about it because he was in his 70s or so in 1970-something. But he's calling for a revival. Now, that's okay to call for a revival. We have revivals, you know, the Methodists and the Baptists, they'll have every year, they'll have a revival. But what's their revival? Their revival is to get more church members. Because they can't revive people under a Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. They can't revive theirself. They can't be revived. I'm going to read. Brother Brown said that's the problem. Denominations, God cannot start a revival in a denomination because you got to have a word revival, you got to have the word. That just makes sense. You got to have the word and you got to have it lined up right. Number four, now a minister cannot bring a revival. There's no preacher can bring a revival. He doesn't pack it with him.
Right.
Now see, my unique situation is I'm a minister, but I'm also laity.
Right.
So I can try to create a revival inside of me.
Right.
Same way with you, Brother Dale, all of us. And the only thing he can do is just be loyal to God and his word, and I think we have. And the revival has to come by the people. In your home, in your life. Now, revival isn't adding new members to the church. It's reviving that what you've already got.
Glory.
To revive means to bring back. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, listen to this one, number five. Believe us now this, 1951. What we need today is an old-fashioned God-sent revival. Clean up the home. Start in your house. Start in your house. Start in your house physical. And then this house. Clean up the heart. Get things ready. Start a revival in your home and it'll begin at the church. Preacher don't bring it in his briefcase. So don't blame me and Brother Dale because it's not a revival. Ha! It's your fault. But we're going to do everything we can to get you in line. God gets you in line where you can have a revival. God sends it from heaven to the individuals. All right, so that's why I say that the world is out there looking and they're going to get it. They're going to get an anointing, just like Brother Dale said. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Everybody's going to get into this great rushing revival. How many of you remember how many times I've preached and told you? And look how close it's getting now. There's somebody going to raise up in this message. I said in this message. That's going to have a healing campaign and all the signs and wonders, but be off in his doctrine and people are going to flock to him like you would not believe. Because that's anointed ones. If he's false in his doctrine, why does Brother Dale keep reading that scripture? If a prophet prophesy and it come to pass, believe him. But if a prophet prophesies and it comes to pass, but he takes you to another God.
Right.
Now see, that's anti-word.
Right.
What is? There's only one God.
Right.
If he takes you to another God, that's anti.
Right.
Then you don't believe him. Doesn't matter about the signs and wonders. Preacher don't bring it in his briefcase. God sends it from heaven to the individual. That's true.
Glory.
All right, let's read number six. Elisha the prophet. Mothers of old, they loved to raise children. But all this modern American day that we're living in now, I tell you, our nation is simply polluted. There's not a hope left to this nation as I see. Only an old-fashioned revival, and according to the scripture, it'll never be nationwide. Now listen,
right.
Brother Branham is a prophet. I don't like to say Brother Branham was a prophet. He still is a prophet.
Right.
He's still a prophet.
Glory.
Okay, so Brother Branham is the prophet of the end time.
Right.
We got to believe what he said.
Glory.
There's no hope left to this nation as I see, only an old-fashioned revival. And then he stops and he says, and according to the scripture, it'll never be nationwide. So don't worry about a nationwide revival. Don't worry about it breaking out in so-and-so's message church over here. You got this message church right here that we deal with. It'll never be nationwide. So then we're just left. It'll be a revival among the people. Now watch what he said, comma. The elect of God.
Right.
But it won't be a real sweeping revival, take the whole nation in, never was, never will be. Okay, so don't worry about a worldwide revival. Brother Brown said, what about the third pull? He said it won't be a public show.
Right,
so now let's read number 7. Now watch this. This is on third seal. Now watch today the reason that revivals were supposed to have. We've had denominational revivals. But it can't be a word revival. Okay? We have denominational revivals. We haven't had a real stirring. No, sir. Don't think we got revivals. We haven't. Now this is 1963. The opening of the seals, greatest revival ever struck the earth.
Right, amen.
But it was a word revival that was so simple,
right,
so hid, nobody understood it at that time. Remember on the sixth seal? He said, it's gone from you, it's not for you. Amen. Don't think we got revivals, we haven't. Oh, they've got millions and millions and millions of church members. I say we got millions and millions and millions of so-called message believers. But not a revival nowhere. The bride hasn't had a revival yet. There's been no revival there, no manifestation of God to stir the bride yet.
Glory.
We're looking for it. It will take those 7 unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. You say, well, brother, you're fixing to get deep. Plan of redemption.
Right.
How can you get away from the plan of redemption? How many times? I preached a year and 4 months on the seals to show you the plan of redemption.
Right.
That's the thunders.
Glory.
To wake her up again. He will send it. He promised it.
Right.
Now, that's thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
He will send it. He promised it.
Right.
And then I say, it's today.
Right. Amen.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Glory.
Now look, I'm going to give you a reason right here and then we're going to read Genesis. Let's go to number 8. Now look. What Brother Brown's doing, and this is 1948. He's in the Christian Businessman's Association. Watch. But if all the full gospel people would come one heart and one accord. Now, this is 1948.
Yeah.
In 1906 on Azusa Street, God poured out the Holy Ghost on the people, right?
Right, amen.
The Holy Ghost himself coming
right
in the fullness of the baptism to give them signs and wonders and to give them a healing campaign.
Right,
amen. So this is 1948. Brother Branham is beginning, starting into the healing campaign of his message, but that part. Remember, he does two things.
Right.
Remember, Malachi 4 does two things.
Right.
Turn the hearts to the fathers to the children. Right? The children to the fathers, back and forth. Children to the fathers for us. And then he brings a message of the 7 thunders or the opening of the seals. All right. So he's not there yet. He's 1948. He's bringing a revival, a healing revival. And I told you before, the reason that revival came, and I'll read something, because you have to look at the characteristics of a revival. So we're going to look at several revivals. I want you to see the characteristic of how God starts them through the people and then how they end. Now listen, ours is not going to end. Ours is an eternal revival. I hope you get that. Because if it's a word revival, it can't go away.
Right.
The word is forever eternal.
Amen.
So when we begin into this word revival, that's what's going to take us through the body chain, right through the resurrection, body chains, take us all over into another dimension until God cleans this place off.
Right.
Then we're going to come right back here for 1,000 years on a honeymoon. Then we're going to go back out again. God's going to wipe this thing off. And then we're going to live in a future home.
Amen.
But it starts today.
Right. Glory.
It started the day you received the new birth.
Right.
But now what are you saying, Brother Wade? We got to revive that new birth again.
Right.
Being born again. But if all the full gospel people would come one heart and one accord. Now here's the problem we've had for 50 years. There would be a revival that would shake the whole world. And every spiritual gift would be in the church within an hour.
Right.
After it took place. Signs and wonders that was done by the apostles would be a minor thing.
Sorry.
to what would do if we could just get the church together. One thing. It's got to happen. It will happen. It may be after I've passed off the scene. But I want to put my word in this that you might know that my voice is this. Oh, Christian people, bind yourself together with one heart and one accord. Watch this. For God cannot send... Everybody says, well, God, why aren't you sending a gift? Why are you not sending this? Here's your answer. God cannot no more send the gifts to the church while the church is separated than he can send the Holy Ghost unless you're in one accord. That's right, for it comes by the Holy Ghost. Believe it. Let me read you one more. Listen to this one. Number 9. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. 1950. This is all 1948 and 50. That's the reason we can't have a revival. You got to get back to God's faith again in the Bible. What's happening today? They're tearing it apart.
Right.
What's happening in the message? There's message churches on each corner in certain places, and they don't even speak to each other. How can God work in that?
Right.
He can't.
Right.
It's a separation.
Right.
That's been the problem. And I'll say something in a minute, and you're not going to like it, but I'm going to say it anyway. You've got to get back to God's faith again in the Bible, where men and women become born again and regenerated by the Holy Ghost. Then that man can't help from being a Christian. He's a Christian by birth. That's right. You don't have to pledge him. Please come to church. Make sure you pay your tithe. You don't have to pledge him and give him cards and visit him. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. If he's born again, brother, you almost have to, this is where it's going to hurt some of you, you almost have to bar the door to keep him out.
Glory.
Now, for some of y'all, that's not a problem. You get the cart before the horse. That's what's the matter. You've got to get Christ first. In the stead of the church, you got to put Christ first. That's what we need today. That's what America needs. What the whole nation, the whole world needs today is an old-fashioned revival stirring, God-sent revival. But remember, there's no nationwide revival that's going to start inside of you. But what was the problem in these two quotes? There was one problem in both quotes. Separation. Separation. This church can't stand that church. This church can't stand that church. This church, I was thinking the other day, I thought, God, this is the worst thing I could think, but I'm going to think it anyway. You go to these big meetings, 600 and 700 people, and Brother Woodby one time, a long time ago before he died, he told Brother Richard Wilson, he looked in the ministers' meeting. We had about 60 ministers up there in North Carolina. He looked around. He said, wonder how many different opinions are in this building. Now, folks, that ain't right. There's only one truth. Like somebody said the other day, Brother Ray, you both can't be right. Either one wrong and one right or both wrong. You can't be one, both of you the right. Right? You can't. Not in the Word of God. And Jesus had no division. Him and the Father were one. And what did he say in John 17? I pray, Father, that they be one as we are one. If you have the mind of Christ, you can't bring a false denomination. You can't bring a false word. You can't bring your opinion. That's been our problem in the message for 50 years. We are so divided. Thank God he's thinning the ranks. Sorry. But thank God he's thinning the ranks. It's what he had to do in the Old Testament. He had to let all them fighters die. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. Thank God he's thinning the ranks. Because we've sat in churches, 600 people. Now, I'm not talking about Brother Donnie Reagan, okay? I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about the special meetings we have. And you've got all these different opinions. They're not all in agreement. I hate when a preacher says, now, we may not agree on all things. Why? Now, sure, Paul and Peter, but it wasn't doctrinal. It was behavior.
Right.
It was not a doctrinal issue. Paul didn't say, now Peter, you're not preaching the right word. No, Peter had a problem with something he was doing of his own opinion. But not in the word. Because God used Peter to write the word. Just as he used Paul to write the word. All right, so we may have our personal differences. Amen? Is everybody in here thinks that somebody else ought to be preaching today? Might be. That's why I said that don't matter to me. That's personal issues. But if I tell you the truth, you got to say amen. Well, bride will say amen. But there's too many. I hate to say that, but fear not, little flock. I hate to see people fall by the wayside, but I'm ready to go home. I'm like Caleb. I've come to this journey and I've seen all that behind me. There's too many people following this message. I said following. There's a difference in following and being the message. Moses was the message and the messenger. Joshua and Caleb became, when Moses left, Joshua and Caleb became the message of the hour. And Joshua was a type of the Holy Ghost. Brother Brown said Caleb was a type of the believer. Believer. Not mate believer. Not unbeliever. But true believer. That's been our problem. We've been too separated. Bind yourself together with one heart and one accord. All these things that are going on in this message should not bother you except for the personal people you know. You feel for them. But you're not going to go out there to them. Folks, you can't do that. You can't sympathize. You can call the brother and say, God bless you, brother. You're still my brother. I'm praying for you. But I can't go with what you're doing. And you know what? That's the way you should do. Because watch. Genesis 15:15. God said to Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that's not ours. Hello, somebody. Is that not us? This land is ours, but we got a squatter on it. We got a squatter on this land. That we got to deal with. Now watch. Thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. Remember, it was actually 430. God gave them a little grace, but it was 400. It took 400 years. You know, it's kind of like the old analogy. If you want to, you're supposed to boil lobsters when they're alive, and you're supposed to boil frogs. You can't just throw a frog in a pot and it boiling. It'll jump out. I've seen lobsters do it. I've seen them. They'll crawl up to the top and try to get out. Why? The water's hot. But if you'll just sit there and go from low to 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5, in about 30 minutes, they think they're in this real warm environment. But they're getting their goose cooked. And they'll die in that. That's what devil's been doing, folks. He's been turning up just a little bit of the heat, just a little at a time. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and he has killed good people. I'm not kicking people out of the message. I'm telling you, some people, we were talking the other day, when you have a battle, when Israel went to battle, now not before, but when Israel went to battle later on, they lost good men because it was a battle. We've lost good men because this is a battle. But what do you do? You don't go back to get that man. If he's gone, he's gone. What do? You press on and fight the thing that killed him. That's what you got to do. You got to fight the thing that killed him. So that's what we're doing now. We're fighting the thing that's killed all of our brothers and sisters down through the 50 years. But we can't be separated. We can't have 15 different ways to preach to new birth. Jesus didn't. If it's if this is Jesus' message, why can't we get it right?
Amen.
Because we don't. A lot of people don't have the Holy Ghost. That's the problem. Because what the Holy Ghost, what it tell you in the Bible, the Holy Ghost would lead you and guide you into some truth. That's not what the Bible said. He said he would lead you and guide you into all truth. Amen. That's why we come from the east and the west in different places. That's why you see people jockeying around trying to find places to go to church. Why? True bride's going to get fed. They're going to find a place to get fed. Amen. So Genesis 15, watch. And also that now 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. Remember when they left Egypt? Egypt was devastated. Amen. When we leave this world, guess what? This world system is going to be devastated. And afterwards shall they come out with a great substance. Now let's go to Exodus 1. We'll read this right here and then we'll continue this afternoon, if that's all right. This is one of the first revivals mentioned in the Bible. Because remember, when Israel came out of Egypt, they were still Israelites when they were in Egypt. They didn't become different people. So God stirred up what was already the promise that was given them by Abram, to Abram, that you're going to sojourn here for 400 years. You're going to walk in a strange land, but I'm going to bring you out with a mighty hand. And I'm going to destroy that country that held you captive. When are we going to start believing that? And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. All these message believers running around. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt who knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. In other words, the Pharaoh looked out there and said, man, there's more of them than there are of us. We got to do something. Because they could cause an insurrection. They could raise up and take us over. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on. Let us deal wisely with them. The devil's not going to do anything usually stupid. He's pretty wise. Okay? Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also our enemies and fight against us and so get them up out of the land. So now what he's saying is, and just to be blunt, what he's saying is, I'm not just going to go out there and tell them to quit having kids. Because they'll rebel. But I'm just going to make them work so hard till they're so tired they eat supper and go to bed. And sleep. Alright, now really that's truthful what he's doing. He's subtly trying to get them to quit having children. What's the devil doing? He's subtly trying to keep people, children of God, from being born again. For 50 years, he's put us in a message church and said, you're fine. Don't you feel it? Therefore, they did set over them taskmaster to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh two cities. He put them to work. Isn't that what works? Don't cut your hair, women. Make sure you wear your dress and make sure it's like 3 inches below your knees. And don't wear no slits that are over 8 inches. We went through all that. That didn't save nobody.
Right.
Zero people did it save. Zero. It was just works. Prove me wrong. You tell me all the people that's come in and then left this message and didn't have a new birth. They just came in and didn't cut their hair and they wore their dresses and now who are they? Eventually somewhere they went off. If you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you won't ever, ladies, put on a pair of pants. You won't ever cut your hair. You won't ever wear makeup. Ever!
Glory. Right.
So that's why the problem is not many, too many new births. That's what Brother Brown said. And now in the message it's taught 17 different ways. Therefore, they did not set over them, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, those two cities. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick and all manner of services in the field. And their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. In other words, for 400 years, they were just kind of living in Egypt. Doing their thing, planting their gardens, building their house, having babies and having generations and generations. Well, all of a sudden, Pharaoh said, this has got to stop. Satan said, this has got to stop. There's too many of them. Right. I'm going to thin the ranks. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives. Now, what were we talking about last Wednesday night? What is a midwife? A midwife is a person that is, that their job is to birth the babies. Amen? What's a preacher's job? To birth the babies. To get the babies into the kingdom. Amen? So watch what. Why didn't he go to the leaders? I'm talking about the big guys. He didn't go to the big guys. He went to the preachers. He said, now preachers, if you'll not preach what... Here we go. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Sipra and the other name was Pua. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. Kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives, thank God, feared God. And did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. Remember, that's the whole story about Moses. When you come up to Moses, Pharaoh said, throw all the two-year-old babies into the alligators. Well, Moses was born in between there. Right. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives. He brought them back in and said, hey, why have you done this thing? You saved the men's children alive. Why are you preaching the truth? Getting these babies born. And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the worldly women. Yeah. Amen? The Hebrew women's not as the worldly women, bunch of weak, bunch of people, for they're lively. They go to church and they do lift their hands and they say hallelujah. Amen. For they're lively. They are delivered ere the midwife, they are not. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives. Listen, God's going to protect the ministry. It doesn't matter if you can't say, don't put a name to it. He's going to preserve his ministry. He's going to have a bride. As Brother Dale says, the bride, this fivefold ministry, there is a predestinated, actually there's two. Oh, you didn't know. God's got a Satan's got a fivefold ministry too. Remember, there's twins in every revival. If God's got a true fivefold ministry, Satan's got a false fivefold ministry. And we see that coming. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, then he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all of his people, saying, every son that... Then he went to all the people. He didn't just work. He's not dealing with preachers now. He's getting into your... Every son that is born, you shall cast him into the river. And every daughter, you shall save alive. God's tried for years to get us to start a revival, but we've just been so separated till we can't. There's opinions everywhere. Some do listen to the midwives, and they are born again. Some don't. You can't do it on your own. You got to have a preacher. Amen. You got to have a minister. According to Ephesians, if you want to tear that out, you can tear it out and throw it away if you want to. But the Bible says if you take away from the Word of God, guess what happens? Your name is taken off the book. All right? So in the book of Ephesians, it tells us that it takes apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints. In other words, to get us to a place to get us out of here. But that revival has to start in you. And I'm going to stop right there, but I want to tell you something. You look at all these revivals. We just talked about a revival just a few months ago in Daniel 70 weeks. We'll read it this afternoon, because what happened in Israel, they went to the promised land. Amen. Joshua and Caleb, through the wilderness, Moses took them to a place, couldn't take them over. Amen. So Joshua and Caleb took them into the promised land, but they had to fight for every inch of ground. They had to fight. Amen. But then all of a sudden, somebody comes in and destroys the whole of Jerusalem again. Tore the temple down. Nebuchadnezzar come in and tore it all down, took all the stuff away. Then you see Daniel 70 weeks. Daniel 9 became a revival for the Jews. Daniel 9:24, and we'll read it this afternoon, where Daniel didn't just walk in and say, bless God, we're Israel, we're perfect. No, he spends a whole chapter praying for his sin and the sins of the people. Nehemiah finally gets the edict to do it, but I'll read it in a minute. He finally gets the go-ahead to do it, but the first thing he does, he falls on his face and says, God, we're a sinful people. And I've preached to you for years that we are the chosen of God. We are God made manifest in another form. But remember one thing, we still got this guy to worry with. I'm talking about the inside guy. That inside guy is perfect. He's as perfect as he'll ever be, or he needs something else. It's that spirit realm and the body realm that need, really the body really doesn't. It's the spirit realm. The memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. Isn't that your problem? That's my problem. It's what we think, reasoning, imagination, all those different things. That's our problem. But please, know though that you're children of Israel, not the mixed multitude. I want you to know that, because you cannot call for a revival if there's nothing in you to revive. You can't. You got to call on God to save your soul. Then you can call on a revival. Because if you have sin, if you have an aching in the camp, if you have an aching in the camp, you got to get him out before you can move on. That's been our problem, folks. We've been scattered. We've been scattered even under this message. So many different doctrines and ideas. Do you think we have the correct one? Yeah, I do. I think we can take the message of the hour and put it together. I say we, I'm talking about God. Through the ministry in this church, we put it together better than anybody I know. You remember what Brother Mike Holtig said last Sunday? He said, it seems to people that Brother Dale and Brother Wade are arrogant. He said, no. He said, they're just established in the present day truth. Listen, Paul stood up one day and said, you'll be judged by what I say. Now, that would be pretty arrogant if you took it the wrong way. And I'm sure people did. You know what people did? Well, who do you think he is? He ain't a bishop. He ain't a prophet. Paul used to persecute us. You know, he used to persecute them people he's in now. But Paul had a conversion. You and I need a conversion. If you don't have a conversion, you cannot call for a revival. You got to call for a resurrection from dead works, out of sin, in your soul. Then you can be revived in the outside man. Let's stand to our feet. This afternoon we'll start in the book of Daniel there, but I want you to look at these revivals. There's one we're going to go to that, there's about five that we're going to talk about this afternoon. But remember, we're heading toward a word revival. Everything has always been started by the word. Because what did Abram, God told Abram, you're going to sojourn for 400 years. That's the word. Daniel knew by books that Jeremiah said, God said through Jeremiah, that you're going to be 70 years in captivity, but you're going to come out with a mighty hand. You're going to build the wall. You're going to build the temple, and you're going to start right back into the service like you were before. That's Daniel 70 weeks. Yep, musicians come. Had a preacher tell me not long ago, one of the ones that's kind of left the message or not following it all the way or whatever you want to say. We were talking about the seventh seal being open. And his comment was, everybody I know that has said that has lived the life of a sinner. In other words, all these people that have come forward in the message and said the seventh seal is polygamy. Well, that's not true. That's false. Polygamy is me. Polygamy is Brother Brown. The third pull of the seventh seal. That's what is coming. And I agree. They've made it everything in the world. External. But just like this revival that we're talking about, it is not an external revival.
Amen.
It is an internal revival in your heart. When you go home, just like I was doing yesterday, I delivered 40-something packages for, no, it was Friday. For some of you that don't know how to go to a store. They're still open. And they're probably empty. But even delivering 40 packages after I'd already run around, I'd deliver 40-something packages and we were talking to each other. See, you don't have to, that's why I said about the midwife, you don't have to be in a church for God to talk to you. He wants to be in this tabernacle anyway. So talk to him. Pray without ceasing. Don't close your eyes while you're delivering 40 packages though. You'll run into something. You don't have to close your eyes to talk to God. To me, that's really a tradition. Because Jesus, even at the tomb of Lazarus, he looks up into heaven and he says, Father, I'm doing this for them. You don't have to close your eyes to talk to God.
Right.
If you kept your eyes open, you might see him.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Right. Let's sing a song. God bless you. We'll start again this afternoon. Jesus. Oh, if you have a need, Emmanuel. Dear Heavenly Father, you've heard our brother. And now we connect with him, Lord, with our faith, that that child will come home today, Father. And it'll be done for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Believe it, man. I will reign. It's been a long journey. Catholic Church, that you need this and you need that, you need a pope. No, you talk to God. You start a revival. It's all up to you whether you want to or not. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. We get to know him. People have looked. Even the great apostle Paul see him all the way. But you and I have had the eye salve of the Word. And it's cleaned our eyes up so that we can see one God. And he's not in heaven. You brought him with you today if you're born again. One more time.
Eternal.
listen to the songs during Christmas time, and we know Jesus wasn't born in December. We know that, okay? So we just kind of go along with the world, and I kind of like this time of the year. Everybody's kind of happy. I said kind of happy. But you know, God came down in the form of a baby. He had to do that. You know, they show the picture of him lying in a manger. You know what that was? That was a feed trough. That's where they, hallelujah, that's where they fed the animals. And there was the man that was going to feed the whole world if you would just partake of it. He was born in a food trough because he said, one day I am that bread. If you'd have understood me, you'd have understood the children of Israel. There was that baby, brother. God Almighty came as a baby in a food trough or a feed trough where the cattle eat their food at. They had to clean it out to put the King of the universe in. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, it make you feel good. That he did it for you. And he did it for me.
Glory.
And then that baby had to die.
Right.
Because as that baby, life couldn't come back inside of you at that time. He had to grow up. Just like you and I have to grow up and mature.
Glory.
He had to mature. And went and got on that cross.
Right.
And he said, eat my flesh. And drink my blood. And I'm going to take you to a place that you'll never have to die. You'll never have to be sorrowful. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. At this time of the year, Lord, they sing songs about you being a baby. But Lord, we understand who you are. You are God Almighty laying in that feed trough. And you came for one purpose, and that was to get your children so that we could feed off of you and not have just natural life, but that we could have eternal life. The Bible says you were born Emmanuel, God with us. And as they sing the song, I don't know if they understand it, Lord, but they call you the great I am laying in that manger. If they would have a revelation of that, they'd walk different. They'd talk different if they knew who you were. But under inspiration, we see that they wrote songs about you, maybe not even understanding who you were. But Lord God, you sent a prophet in the end time that brought an open book that we could see that you came from God and you went back to God. And then he said, we came from God and we're going back to God. Father, forgive us of our sins. Bless us, Lord. All the ones that are sick, Lord, I pray now that your healing power would come upon them. Lord, if there's any in here that's sin sick, Lord, we pray that you would just touch their life, Lord. That you'll clean us all up, Father. Let us throw out the things that we don't need, Lord. And put you first. And then you promised we'd have a revival. Father, give us this day our daily bread till we meet back at 2:00. Bless our visitors, Lord, and the ones that are here. We pray that you'd just touch him. Be with little Hudson, Lord, and bring him home, Lord. May that supernatural power go right now to that place and raise him up for your honor and glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Oh, I'm going to pray.